Hello, everyone, and welcome to Integrated Rhythm, two swing dancing besties. That's Jisomo Selemani and myself, Bobby White, talking about race and other stuff within the swing dance scene. Here's a little episode we put together. There was just a conversation that we wanted to have. And so, yeah, here you go. Thank you so much to our patrons. You are awesome. We can't do this without you.
Integrated Rhythm with Jisomo and Bobby.
Should I go ahead and just say the thing?
Or did yes, you know? Absolutely.
Okay. Being hired as a Black woman in swing dancing is not uncomplicated. And that may sound convoluted because of the negatives. But if we were to say that without the negatives, being hired as a Black woman in swing dancing is complicated. I feel like that loses some of the nuance of the complexity. Because when we're hired, and I'm speaking for myself, we show up at a place with a million voices in our heads. Some of those voices are supportive and saying, yes, queen, get it. Bring your energy. You deserve to be here. And then some of the other voices are saying, why me? And who is losing out on an opportunity because I'm here? Who should be here? That's better. And do I deserve to have a chance? Like, for me, when I'm at an event, I am constantly screening through all of those questions. And so I often am sitting in gratitude and just in awe of the fact that I've gotten hired. I'm like, yes, I get to do this thing that I love. I get to be at this event and support people's learning and celebrate this history and these dances and these all the different bodies that show up. But then I'm constantly thinking, like, there are people out here who are amazing. Like in Balboa, there's Shawnee Brown, who's been doing this thing for forever and is so, so, so unbelievably talented and has walked in the shoes of the old timers and worked with the old timers, but then may not be known to folks. Like it was a couple years before, while I was in Val, before I heard about Shawnee. Like that to me is such a shame, you know? And then you have these incredible dancers. Like I know, my dear friends, Andrea Gordon and Daniels Locke, like had known of each other for like 20 years, but just recently met a couple of years ago, like, or like last year. And now they're, you know, it's just, it's hard and complicated. Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts, Bobby?
I can only imagine. I mean, damn. There's
You are the best listener and friend. I appreciate you.
I wish I could say more interesting things in reply.
No, but I think, you know, I think that there's a beauty in just being willing to listen and not necessarily having to have a response. And like, I think I heard this thing about listening the other day about how it's good to give people space, and you do that, and I appreciate that so much. But yeah, this idea of being hired as a Black woman in swing has, I mean, obviously I'm a Black woman and I am in swing dancing and I've been hired. So these are aspects of me. In 2023, I've had the opportunity, the amazing opportunity to teach at Beantown Dance Camp with our lovely co-host here, Bobby White, and also Samuel Coleman. And then I will be teaching at Northwest Bowfest with Bobby White, and Swing Out New Hampshire with Bobby White. I'll be at Great Lakes Balboa Escape, working with Jacob Wigger, and I'll also be at Lindy Focus. And so I don't know if I've said all of those gigs straight in a row out loud to anyone because of like this ever-present imposter syndrome and feeling like I don't deserve this because I know that there are amazing folks out there who could do who could have this gig instead of me. It's actually really interesting to me when I talk to folks who are like who get upset because they didn't get a gig. And I get that that is a natural and normal expectation when you've been working so hard, you know, and you're out here hustling, making connections, improving your skills, competing. Like, I get it. Like, when you're working hard, it makes sense that you are striving. But my experience is different because there's this additional complexity, this additional thing where it's like, is this happening as a result of affirmative action? Like, is this like happening because I'm from Africa? Is this happening because I'm a curvy black girl? And right now, our moment is here a little bit. I don't like, is this happening because I just happen to be nice? People perceive me to be nice and like and not combative in
I
a
love that
particular way.
correction. You're like, is this because people think I'm nice or perceive me to be nice? The curtain comes down, episode 41.
That reminds me of when we were at Focus last year, and I had a devious plan, and your wife called me off of my devious plan. Just goes like, don't do that. Don't do that. You are, she's like, you have a wicked sense of humor. Because my dear friends know that I have a little bit of a sassy side. So yeah, perceive me to be nice.
Well, I remember there was that time at Bean, was it Beantown last year or Focus, where you and D purposefully wore the exact same outfit and walked around. Oh, I think it was at Beantown, right?
It was, you are not wrong. We did it twice.
Hey, and y'all, you know, was this Beantown camp?
It was Beantown. We did it at Beantown and we did it at Focus. So
Oh,
at Bean,
fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
so Beantown is you know, mostly 30, 40, 50 somethings.
Yeah.
And primarily white New England camp. It's a
Yeah.
fantastic camp, by the way. We love this camp. And people there are fantastic and nice, which is what makes it doubly cruel that y'all played this social experiment slash like this was not going to go well for the people of Beantown to have Chisomo and D wearing the exact same outfit walking around at a time when y'all's hair was also particularly close to one another's.
Was similar. Yeah. The two times we did this, we did our hair in a similar way. And here's the thing is like we're currently, this isn't always the case, but we're currently wearing like the same size clothes. Like whenever I wear something that D likes and she sees it, she's like, why didn't you buy me one? So when I got this jumpsuit, this camo jumpsuit, she was like, I want one. So she ended up getting the same one. And we were like, okay, we're gonna wear them at Beantown. So one night we dress up and we walk to the venue together. If you've been to Beantown, you know like the main dance is at Callahan. So we walk over from where our suite was to Callahan. And then as we get to the door, she's like, okay, I'm gonna go in first and then you'll go in second. So she goes in. She goes in and like people are like, you know, like, hey, whatever. And then I follow and I get into a conversation with this poor, wonderful, unsuspecting, very tall Caucasian New Englander. And he was like, I really loved your class today. It was so great. Hey, you were wearing a brace earlier. And that is how I knew. That is how I knew that that was not me. I was like, nope, I was not wearing a brace earlier. I think you were talking about her. I'm like, and
Oh, felt
yeah.
the trap, just this the snaps.
It was a trap. But
It's a trap.
it's a trap. Interestingly enough, that was basically the only person who was fooled. Like last,
Well done, Beantown.
right?
Well
Yeah.
done.
Beantown 2022 was unfazed. Like
Very
they
well done.
were able to differentiate us. I did scare Peter Strom though, because D was talking to him and I heard him start to give her a compliment. And I ran up behind him because he was like, you look, and I heard that, and I like jumped in front of him. I was like, we look great, huh? And I have never seen this man jump back as far. He jumped back as far as he is tall. He was like, what? What? It was fantastic. Yeah, so that was Beantown. So Beantown 2022, fantastic job. Some of you might know that Beantown 2023, interestingly enough, no such ruse was played. Like I behaved myself this time. D was not there. But we actually got a lot mistaken for a lot more different people this year, even
Oh,
though nobody
alas.
actually sabotaging anyone. So yeah.
2022, the year of the trap that everyone did well with. 2023, back to normal, and it went horribly.
Yes, exactly. And so then at
By the way, but listeners, I was nearby when Chisomo and some of the people who got mistaken for one another were talking to me. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. You like
yeah.
there's D and Chisomo wearing the same outfit with their hair doing the same thing, level of resemblance. And then there is like this level of resemblance, which was like so not a
Yeah.
level of resemblance.
Right. I'm actually, because it's out there in the world on the internet, I'm going to use a known example. Kendra Dandy. Kendra Dandy is this award-winning artist.
Her stuff is so good. Y'all should check it out.
Yes, like I believe that. Like you've been able,
You've probably
she's
already
even
seen
on.
it on Target, at
Yes, I was
Target or
gonna say,
whatever.
exactly. Like there are black artists that like have their
And
work at
many other
Target.
places than Target. Sorry, I don't want to like downplay the, oh, she's got herself on Target. And many other places she's very, very
But I
wanted,
mean, she is.
desired for, to have
Yes.
her craft put onto things and sold.
Yeah, I mean her. I agree with you that her stuff is at every level of access. It is at the elite level of access, and it's at the commercial level of access. Like that's how prolific she is, right? That's essentially what you're
It's
saying, right,
at the
Bob?
constantly plagiarized level of
Yes.
individuality. Like her
Yes.
style is very specific, and people steal it all the time. And so poor Kendra spends half her life in lawsuits. And it's not, she's not being mean. She's just trying to say, freaking give me credit. Just stop stealing my stuff, which
Yeah.
is really hard in the designer world. Because once a thing becomes really popular, it's real, people will steal it so that they can get in on the bucks.
Yeah. And it's like, yo, give this hardworking lady her money, right? Like, so, yeah. So Kendra Dandy, who is incredible, amazing designer, also great swing dancer, goes to all kinds of events, like, is just like, I feel like she's a little bit of swing royalty, right? Like you see Kendra at an event, and that event is blessed to have her. She's there with her fan, just like classing the place up, right? Anyway,
And
so
looking with
Kendra.
disdain sometimes upon
Yes.
the ongoings if they do not measure
Yes.
up to a certain level of class.
Yes, exactly. So Kendra. Yes, she, just like a queen, she has opinions about what's happening on the dance floor and how people move around. And if you're Facebook friends with her or friends with her on socials, you will see those opinions, and they're often funny.
Yes, indeed.
She's a really good writer and hilarious. So people know about like the sassy, funny part of Kendra, but I have to say that I maybe hopefully not revealing any trade secrets here, but Kendra for me has been just incredibly supportive and kind. If she's at a dance event and I'm teaching, she comes to my class. And I know that part of that isn't just like part of that is that she genuinely enjoys the classes. But for me, I've come up with Kendra, so it is incredibly heartwarming that like one of my friends, one of my peers, one of the people who I've come up with is as supportive as she is. And so I Kendra brings like this warm feeling for me. Anyway, so Kendra's in one of my classes. And I think I looked over at her because she whatever event I'm at, she'll come to my class. I assumed that this activity that I was about to do that I've done before, she'd been a part of. And for this activity, I need a co-conspirator. So I was going to have her be my co-conspirator, but I had somebody else do it because she hadn't done it before. Apparently, after that moment, in some sort of break, someone came up to her and asked if she was related to me. Here's what. I'm about 3 feet shorter than Kendra. I know that there are variations in genetics, but like, yo, she is a different height. We have different bone structure. Our hair was entirely different. But people, there's another point in time where somebody confused her with me. So that's the reason why I'm also talking about her physical appearance in that way. And so someone asked if she was related to me, and somebody else thought that she was me. It's such a hot mess. We look so entirely different.
And this was, listener, dear listeners, this was like 3 weeks ago. This was not 1994. Like, this was like 3 weeks ago. So is the moral of the story that there's probably several morals of the story, but is one moral of the story is, dear listeners, please do not ask if one person of color is related to another person of color. Unless it is clearly mentioned in conversation that, oh yeah, my brother, oh yeah, my sister, or oh yeah, my nephew or niece over there, the one dressed in this garment who goes by this name is my relative. Unless that is said in a conversation, maybe don't ask if someone is related to another person. Do you think that's a reasonable takeaway?
I think it's a reasonable takeaway. I will tell you what it's giving. This is giving. So I'm from Zambia, as you know. Zambia is in the southern part of Africa. Africa is massive. You can put the United States in, like, I think Europe and like, I forget, but how many different countries and continents you can put into Africa. But Africa is massive. Zambia, I'm in the southern part of Zambia. West Africa, super far away. Like, I think you are closer to West Africa in New York than you are to Zambia on the same continent. I'm saying all of this because this situation with Kendra and like the relative thing is giving, oh, you're from Zambia? I have a friend from Ghana. Do you know him? It's giving that. And I grew up with people asking me questions like that. So we're wanting to protect you and your future relationships. Think about this as a benefit, not just for the Black community, but for also for you. Because I'm sure in making a statement like this, you might also be trying to make a bid for a connection. And if that's the case, then just ask questions or listen. Hey, like what Bobby did earlier, just listen to folks that you want to connect with, you know? And be
This
grateful for the moments of time you get to have in their presence.
this reminds me of something that happened a few weeks ago that I think I've already talked to you about, but I want to go ahead and mention it for the listeners because I think it's good to know and it's important to know. So I am a co-director of the group The Harvest Moon Hoppers in New York City, and we like to kind of throw down in the style of Whitey's Lindy Hoppers, Mamaloneck Park Dancers, that kind of stuff. We do little jam style routines. And we were putting together one. So we have like every time we do a routine, we have like 1 hour rehearsal just to put it all together because figure out whose jams go in what order, make sure that we all line up in the right line for the ending choreo, and then we're done. Well, so we have two very talented people of color in this performance that we were doing at the time. We had AJ Howard and we had Sean Vitale. And both of these people are not just friends of mine, but like good friends of mine. Like I have a personal connection with both of them. And yet in this early morning practice, I said AJ when I meant Sean. And Sean when I meant AJ. So like I mixed up the two very different looking people of color who I have two very different but fantastic relationships with. And it's like, it was a real eye-opening moment. And then I wasn't the first person to do that in that practice. Another person had done it. And so it was in the air. There was this really weird, like mixing up of two very different people of color by their names. And in my head, I'm envisioning someone and I just say the wrong name. But isn't that fascinating? Like, mild-mannered, like trying to do good work, person who has these relationships with people still can mix up the names, and like, yeah, that's just crazy. I felt horrible, by the way. But there you go.
And I think to further punctuate that point, did you say that they were the only two like black men or only
In
two?
that particular practice, we have
Many that are part of the Harvest Moon Hoppers,
well, we have
right?
Brandon Barker, who's also part of the Harvest Moon
That's
Hoppers,
right.
and Lawey Gilly Michael, and LaLena, who was with us for a brief spell, but then he moved away. But yeah.
But in that particular practice, and so and there are no other names that were confused, right?
Yep, no one confused. Not that I remember. It was one. I mean, it was a like this is no excuse. Just kind of setting the world. It was a very early practice, and we as a group tend to be late sleepers, and so we were also not functioning 100%. So maybe if it had this happen at 3 p.m., things would have been fine, and we have not confronted this darker part of our natures. This is why you should never do a practice before like 11 a.m. or noon,
This
right?
is
Bad stuff happens.
this is the case for
Swing
starting all
dancing should not
activities.
happen before at least 11 a.m.
I am with you. I am with you on that. So the reason why I was asking those clarifying questions is also, I think that further like exacerbated like even your feelings, right? That heightened your like you were your sense of like, oh no. And so I mean, in the spirit of transparency, I like the place where this happens with me that I have to I literally practice and I still mess up just pronouns. So I said I've misgendered someone. I said she instead of they, and I was like, oh, you know. And so when you have this moment of like, oh no, the important thing is to correct yourself, and move past it and do your best to keep saying the accurate name, saying the accurate pronouns. And I think it's important to make it very clear that like we're not going to be perfect right? We're not going to be perfect when it comes to these things, but we do want to honor the people that we're around to the best of our ability, by making a concerted effort. And then also interrogating that thing that says, like, so what Bobby and I just described are like, I think faux pas of people who are like working on stuff, right? So there's that thing where you're like working on something and then you get into your autopilot brain and you're like, oh crap. Oh, I need to get out of my autopilot brain, right? But then there's also those situations where like you're fueled by curiosity, like maybe inappropriate curiosity, not so much respectful curiosity. And that's when like we might probe and ask questions like invasive questions, like, are you related to this person? Or like, where are you from? Or like, where are your parents from? Like, where are you really from? You know? So I would ask people to kind of think about those different types of kind of faux pas and give yourself grace, but then also like commit to doing better, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm on the one hand, I'm glad it happened because, you know, it's just a sign that like that kind of thing can just happen and you got to like work through it. And I mean, I still, and I think that, again, another great takeaway is don't do swing dancing before 11 a.m.
Yeah. Yes.
You're
Don't do swing.
asking for trouble.
You are.
Yep,
You
you're not going to be
are.
in sync. Your air steps aren't going to go as well. You're going to mistake people of color. It's going to be horrible. It's not going to go
Yeah,
well.
you're going to engage in, you know, all kinds of terrible maladies, right?
Yeah, because it's not meant to be. Like that's the big takeaway, I think.
Yeah.
It's
I
out of
would
sync with the universe.
expand that to beyond swing dancing. I think most things should, most appointments, most mandatory things should not happen before 11. Like, if you happen to be awake and you want to have some bonus time out here in this world, if you want to kick it, get some brunch or some coffee, that's great on you. But don't expect me to be productive.
Yeah,
Yeah.